910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Labor Day is usually busy for presidential candidates. Vice President Harris will speak to union members soon in Detroit, and later today will join President Biden to march in a union parade in Pittsburgh. Former President Trump has no event scheduled today. An ABC News Ipsos poll shows a majority of Americans, 56%, say Harris has done a good or excellent job during her campaign. Far fewer, 41%, say the same thing about Trump. A funeral today in Jerusalem for Hersch Goldberg Polan. The American citizen was among the six ostriches found dead in a tunnel in Gaza.
How do we live the rest of our life without you? I pray that your death will be a turning point in this horrible situation in which we are all entangled.
His mother, Rachel Goldberg. President Biden met with his National Security Council today at the White House as the U.S. continues to push Israel and Hamas to reach a ceasefire hostage release deal. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic candidate for Vice President Tim Walz campaigns in Milwaukee today. Senator Elizabeth Warren spent last week campaigning for the Harris-Walz ticket in Wisconsin. She says Kamala Harris should reintroduce the immigration bill that died in the Senate.
We need more security at the border. We need more help for the states that are actually supporting migrants. We need faster work permits so that migrants who are here and want to work would be able to work, and the people who want to hire them could legally do that.
Warren on WISN-TV's Up Front yesterday. Donald Trump will hold a campaign rally in central Wisconsin on Saturday. The Trump campaign says it will happen at the airport in Mosinee starting at 1 in the afternoon. Meanwhile, President Biden travels to southwest Wisconsin on Thursday. This is Civic Media News. Congress is considering a bill to better inform the public about end-of-life care options like hospice, palliative care, and advanced care planning. Suzanne Potter reports.
The Compassionate Care Act would establish guidelines for advanced care planning between health providers and patients. Lisa Paul is a social worker who guides families through hospice.
We live in a culture that is very avoidant of conversations on death and dying. And so public education around the importance of planning ahead will improve access so that everyday Americans know to ask for hospice and palliative care.
The bill would direct the government to develop education resources for providers, expand telehealth options, and facilitate a study on a national advanced care planning registry that would allow patients to transfer their advanced directives from state to state. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers had a 5-game winning streak snapped. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single to score the automatic runner. Still, the Brewers took 3 of 4 games from the Reds in the weekend series. Now, Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals Monday afternoon in a 3-game set. They'll get a day off Thursday before playing Colorado this weekend. The NFL season kicks off this week. On Thursday, the Kansas City Chiefs face the Baltimore Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue as both teams change defensive coordinators and running backs for this season, and it'll be the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Kickoff will be after 7 p.m. on Friday night. The Wisconsin Badgers trailed early in the fourth quarter, but two late touchdowns gave the Badgers a 28-14 win on Friday. Next up, Wisconsin will take on FCS foe South Dakota this Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium with a 2:30 p.m. kickoff. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Matt Nair on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer. Maybe he will be the host after these mess ups. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. It is Monday, the 2nd of September. Mr. Zommers, happy Labor Day to you.
Happy Labor Day to you as well.
We are high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square on this Labor Day, the 2nd of September. A great day to be a Wisconsinite, Mr. Zommers, here on a Labor Day. I cannot believe we're already into the month of September.
I can't believe it either.
I know. It's just summer went by like that.
It really did.
It really did. Happy Labor Day to each and every one of you. Hopefully you are celebrating with family and friends and enjoying a day off. Because people who labor deserve a day off. Of course, there are people that are working on Labor Day, and our thoughts are with them as well. For the rest of us, people working at convenience stores, people who are probably working at Walmart, big box stores to make sure that people, grocery stores, to make sure people have brats and beer and soda and whatnot to celebrate the holidays. So we're thinking of all of you as well. And in full disclosure, in order for our staff to take the day off as well, we're actually pre-recording this a couple of days ahead of time. So
that's the biggest reason I can't believe it's September yet.
Right, because we're recording this still in August. But just in case there's some big, huge breaking story today and you wonder why I'm not talking about it, well, because this is on tape. Well, it's not actually tape anymore, but it's on digital, whatever you call it.
It'd be interesting if it was tape. I would like to record a show on tape, but then we'd have to convert it right to digital anyway. So,
as I've talked about in this show before, I'm old enough that my final radio editing project at the University of Wisconsin Platteville Broadcasting Department, my final editing project for radio, all on tape, reel to reel.
Yeah, I'd like to try that, but I am glad that in my day-to-day editing, I don't have to splice tape.
It's a novel idea, and there's something about having the analog and the tactile feeling of it in your hands and using a razor blade and cutting it at an angle and using special tape to splice it, but it's also a pain, and if you don't get it just right, you can hear it on the audio, and then sometimes it will break, and you have to go back. So, yeah, it was not like today. I'll tell you that much right now. Now I do sound like an old man on Labor Day. Oh, I remember back in the day. But hopefully, do you have any growing up, Mr. Zommers, over Manitowoc there? Did you have any big Labor Day family traditions or anything that happened around Manitowoc on Labor Day specifically?
Yeah. So my dad works for a power plant and is part of a union. And on Labor Day every year, his union would put on something at Bay Beach in Green Bay. And so we'd go there, eat some brats and not drink beer because I was a child, get a free t-shirt and then go on some rides and just hang out.
Oh, that's been, I've been to Bay Beach. My stepmother, Mary, spent much of her life. She was born and raised in Chicago area, Chicagoland, and then moved at some point in her childhood, her family and she, to Green Bay. And so she has taken us as kids over to Green, over to Bay Beach there. They live in Shawano now, but beautiful area, Bay Beach. And really cool that your dad's union did that for the family. I know there are a lot of celebrations. As a matter of fact, I know today down in Milwaukee at arguably the state's largest Labor Day celebration, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz having a big appearance down in Milwaukee today on Labor Day to rally people there. So it should be a great activity. I know our own Earl Ingram is going to be there, and I think is going to have details and perhaps a big interview. We'll see tomorrow on his show on Tuesday, yeah. The Earl Ingram show from 8 until 10.
It's especially fitting with Milwaukee's rich history of unions and its importance in Labor Day. So it really is a great day to be a Wisconsinite.
It really is. And coming up at 12:30 or just past, we're going to replay an interview from a couple of weeks ago at the Democratic National Convention in which we talked to one of the biggest proponents and defenders of working people, Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show, which can be heard every evening here on Civic Media Monday through Friday from 10 until 11. And Rick was so kind enough to sit down with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project and oftentimes a co-host on this program. So Rick Smith will join Trigvi and I at the bottom of the hour. It's a replay, but it's a great discussion about working people. And not just from a partisan campaign position, but as you said, Mr. Sommer, it's the rich history here in Wisconsin of Labor Day. And so I thought it would be appropriate today. And if you haven't done this before, here's part of what makes Wisconsin great. The Wisconsin Historical Society. And if you go to their website, wisconsinhistory.org, wisconsinhistory.org, you can find out a little bit about Labor Day from a Wisconsin perspective. So I thought it was appropriate today to dial this up and share it with some of you, because growing up in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, although my family, my especially on my mom's side, or my dad at one point too, were teachers, and so they were part of the teachers union, but it's a little bit different than, say, you know, the pipe fitters or the steam, you know, the auto workers or things like that, where the teachers union traditionally, at least in my experience growing up, didn't do a lot on Labor Day proper for folks. Although it was a great, especially when the late, great Morris Andrews ran it in Wisconsin, the teachers union was a force to be reckoned with. And then on the other side of the family, you know, my dad's side, his parents were dairy farmers. And so you're working every day, 365 days a year, unless your kids or a neighbor will help you out. And so Labor Day growing up in our family meant just kind of getting together, sometimes going fishing at the river, as we'd say, Mississippi River, or maybe a pond like Dutch Hollow or whatnot, but just kind of getting together for a cookout and whatnot. So I think a lot of Wisconsinites today, well, and of course also, it used to be, I guess still kind of is, Wisconsin Dells, these big water parks and whatnot, it's their last big splash, literally and figuratively, for people who don't have work or school on Monday. They go to the Dells, get one last kind of big vacation in, big camping weekend, of course. A lot of people will take their docks out of the lakes around Wisconsin on Labor Day weekend and say, well, last time everybody can get together, so, you know, you got to get the dock out. Although autumn, fall has been extended in recent years due to global warming, for better or worse, but you get a few more days perhaps in the lake. But I thought it was a good idea today to take a look back historically. So here now, from the Wisconsin Historical Society, Labor Day in Wisconsin, beyond beer and brats. It says, to most of us, Labor Day is simply the final weekend of summer. But we have this long weekend only because of working men and women who insisted on public recognition of their contributions to American life more than a century ago. The direct inspiration for Labor Day occurred in New York City on Tuesday, September 6th, 1882, when 10,000 workers left their jobs to parade through Manhattan demanding an 8-hour workday. The organizers called it Artisans' Day and encourage workers in other cities to follow their example. Within a few years, the practice had spread all across the country. In Wisconsin, Labor Day became an official state holiday in 1893, and a day of great celebration for the Federated Trades Council of Milwaukee. A 1900 Labor Day celebration souvenir program documents how many Milwaukeeans participated in the holiday. It featured articles on Labor Day issues, labor stories and songs, and advertisements for sympathetic businesses. I want to pause and step away from this article in the Wisconsin Historical Society. Just, again, I think it's good to pause and reflect, as my former teacher Andy Spies is fond of saying, pause and reflect these things that we now take for granted, right? An 8-hour workday, a 40-hour work week, paid time off, sick days, vacation days, overtime pay. I think for people of a certain age or generation, it's like, well, yeah, you have to do that. They have to do that as my employer. It turns out there was a period, a large period in American history where they did not have to do any of that. And people had to fight in terms of demonstrations and walking off the job and demanding these rights be instilled in working people. And these are things that today too often we take for granted, but this is why we pause and reflect on this day, the 2nd of September, to remember the sacrifices of those who went before. Again, back to this article from the Wisconsin Historical Society, Labor Day used to mean something more than beer and brats. After marching through Milwaukee on Artisan's Day, 1888, thousands of iron molders, carpenters, shoe and boot makers, cigar makers, iron and steel makers, printers, and stone cutters assembled at Schlitz Park. Yes, from Schlitz Brewery, Schlitz Park, and their families for an afternoon of speeches in English and German, as well as athletic contests and a grand ball. Think of that. We hear a lot today in today's politics about the quote-unquote dangers of ethnicity, protecting our nation, quote-unquote, all this nationalism. Our history tells us in 1888, it was American to give speeches in both English and German, a native language of a large German contingent of Americans and Milwaukeeans. Schlitz Park, a rich brewing history of Wisconsin and Milwaukee, was celebrated. Labor Day became a national holiday in 1894. President Grover Cleveland, after breaking the American Railway Union with considerable violence and loss of life, signed a bill making the first Monday in September a national holiday for American workers. It was a blatant attempt to win back their support, but workers were not so easily fooled. The program from a 1900 Milwaukee celebration includes some advice. We're going to come back and give you that advice after this. You're listening to a special Labor Day edition of the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, going to have Rick Smith. Yes, from the Rick Smith Show, heard every evening from 10 until 11 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Going to have him along and talking with us a little bit, along with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project as well. And we'll talk a little baseball a little bit later in the show. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. That's Labor Day, right? It's Labor Day, September 2nd. It's the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. Happy Labor Day to you. It is Monday, the 2nd of September, 2024. Indeed, a great day to be a Wisconsinite, a great day to celebrate working people all across this state and all across this country. Go out, have a picnic, have a beer, not too many, celebrate, go to the river, fish, go to a water park, listen to baseball. By the way, Brewers baseball on the air today, so some of our stations across the network are hearing Brewers baseball right now instead of this show, but if you live in select cities across Wisconsin, Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Oshkosh, can tune in to Milwaukee Brewers baseball this afternoon. That's all great to do today, in my opinion, to celebrate our country and to celebrate labor. But it is appropriate that we pause and reflect and remember the sacrifices of those who went before us that got us this day off, that got us 8-hour working days, that got us 40-hour work weeks. They said, you know what? We probably shouldn't have 12-year-olds putting their fingers in sharp saws in meatpacking plants. They said, you know what? We should probably make sure that beef is refrigerated when it's being processed so as not to make people sick. Those people who sacrificed, who said, you know what? If we're going to have people work with chemicals, you're going to have to provide them with protective gear. I get it. Some people are saying, are you an idiot, Todd? Well, some people would say, I'm sure. But they're going to say, are you an idiot? Of course they have to do that. That's the law. But it didn't used to be. That's the point.
Yeah, I remember learning in school about the steel tycoons of the 20s and everything and how people would just die all the time and get paid basically nothing and have to work all day every day and have no choice.
It was essential slave labor. And we're not talking just Black or African-American people. We're talking, you know, remember when the Irish first came here? No Irish. Italians, same thing. A Polish, same thing. People were treated like slaves, like dirt, like scum. And working people had to rise up and demand of our politicians something better. Back to this article, the Wisconsin Historical Society, about Labor Day. As they said here, it became a federal holiday in 1894 when President Grover Cleveland, after breaking the American Railway Union with considerable violence and loss of life, by the way, signed a bill making the first Monday of September a national holiday for American workers. It was a blatant attempt by Cleveland to win back their support. But workers were not so easily fooled. Here again, the program from a 1900 Milwaukee celebration included this advice, and I quote, "Year after year, we walk up to the polls and vote the old party ticket. and put our necks under the yoke of the capitalist, just as the well-trained ox walks under the master's yoke. And then we wonder why we are no better off than the ox. The great majority of the working men realize that they have hands to work with and a stomach to feed, but they appear to have entirely forgotten that they have brains to reason with. Come now, and let us reason together. Let's swear off being ox and nominate and elect men from the ranks of labor whose interests are our interests. We have been oxen long enough. Unquote. That from the program of the 1900 Milwaukee celebration. As I often quote former Tennessee federal judge, Judge Weissman, as he likes to say, that's putting it down there where the chickens could get at it. You know, that's people can understand that. And it has taken over 100 years, and we're still trying to make progress in many avenues to get working people rights. And let me be clear, there are many companies and many employers who have done a great job in this regard, who have recognized that, who have said, you know what? If I treat my employees well, they'll work better. If I incentivize them and take care of them, they'll be happier. I'll give one example myself. Before coming back into radio a couple years ago here at Civic, I was working for L.L. Bean, a big clothing manufacturer predominantly, based out of Maine. And I would say they're a great company to work for. They're a large company. Up until recently, they were still family-owned, but they gave everybody full-time workers a full 2 weeks to start with, paid vacation. Then they gave everybody from the high school kid who just started working 8 hours a week up to managers, they gave every employee every year 16 hours, they called it outdoor time. 2 full days of paid time off. And the only thing you had to do to, and you could take it, I think, in 2 or 3 hour increments. And all you had to do is get approval from your supervisor. And then after, when you did the activity, send them a text of a photo of you outside.
Which, yeah, you told me about this before. That's just so cool and so right? Fitting for L.L. Bean.
Yeah.
Too.
Because they said, we want to encourage, we want to live the ethos of which we talk about, saying that we believe in outside heals us emotionally and physically. It makes us better people if we're outside. And so the company said, we're going to give every single employee 2 days a year of outdoor time, outside time, they called it. And that was super. So you got your normal time off, plus you got 2 days of outside time to do that. Health insurance. I think if you work 30 hours or more a week, you're eligible for that. And it was affordable. And it wasn't just like, oh, if I get in a car accident. No, it covered quite a bit. They were very good to their employees, in my opinion. So I think it's appropriate also on this Labor Day to thank and to credit corporations and businesses. And I'll say the same thing about my current employer, Civic Media. They're great about allowing us to purchase affordable health insurance. They started doing short-term and long-term disability, and they're picking up 100% of that premium. We just get it automatically. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, who do put workers in an equal basis, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it, celebrate, listen to a concert, get outside. But take a minute to pause and reflect, and however you do it, meditate, pray, take a pause in your life, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people. Going to come back. replay you an interview from a couple weeks ago. Nobody fights harder for the working person than Rick Smith of The Rick Smith Show, along with Trigvi Olsen of The Lincoln Project. Have a wonderful Labor Day. More throughout the couple of hours here. We'll be back live on Tuesday. Stay tuned. Rick Smith ahead on a Labor Day edition of The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Hemp is a fast-growing industry that has different plants for different uses. One of these are the fiber plants. I am Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Philip Alberti, a research program manager at UW-Madison, was able to tell us about how they grow their fiber plants and what they can be used for.
So the fiber plants themselves are typically grown with the intention of allowing them to grow, go to flower, and then we chop it with like a sickle mower, allow it to dry, bale it up, and send it for processing in the hopes that the fiber, baled up fiber, can be separated using a process called decortication, where we get two primary components. We get a bast fiber, which is traditionally what we think of with, you know, textiles, and then the inner core, the herd material, which is also another high value product from hemp, which can be used for many things, from construction to paper products. There's a lot of interesting things that can be done.
Philip Alberti telling us a bit about their fiber hemp trials at UW-Madison. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and your midday markets are coming up right after this.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at wfbf.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now for your midday markets from Chicago. September corn contracts are trading at 374, up 2.25. December corn contracts are trading at 397.5, up 1.5. September soybeans are trading at 971.5, down 2.25. November soybeans are trading at 992.5, even. September wheat is trading at 528.75, up 3.75. Class 3 milk contracts for September are trading at 2230 a hundredweight, up 12 cents. And Class 3 milk contracts for October are trading at 2280 a hundredweight, up 18 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the
app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It is going to be a really nice Labor Day today. Mostly sunny, 74 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at only around 5. Tonight, clear, 52. Tomorrow, sunshine, 76. Then on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Labor Day, September 2nd, 2024. Glad to have you along with us. Going to go back here a couple of weeks when we were down in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention. Trigvi Olson, my frequent co-host and senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, joined me there as we welcomed Rick Smith, a great fighter for labor across America and the working person. He has the Rick Smith Show every evening from 10 until 11 here on Civic Media. Enjoy this interview we did with Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show. The app, you can listen to us worldwide on that. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a former Republican like myself, is here at the table. And boy, howdy, we might as well just end the show for the entire week now, because this is one of the guests I had on the list. I said, if only we could get Rick Smith. And here we got to meet him finally in person this morning. I know, Trigvi, you've been on the show before. Rick Smith has the wonderful Rick Smith Show. You can hear it every evening right here on the Civic Media Radio Network from 10 until 11, Monday through Friday in the evening. And he also has the 5 to 6 p.m. TV show on Free Speech. Rick Smith, thanks for being with us here. Welcome.
Todd, thanks for taking time for me.
Oh, thank you for taking time for us. I've been a fan of the show for a long time, and in particular, a couple of years ago for the midterm elections, you took your show on the road, and you spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, and that's when I said, by golly, this guy gets it. Because he showed up in places, you're like at Stevens Point, mm-hmm. talking to Mayor Wiese. You were in industrial towns. You were in places where jobs are not there anymore. And you talked to real people. Tell us why you did that tour and what you learned.
The reality is I grew up in Cleveland. And as a kid, I watched the city deindustrialize. Mm-hmm. And what I watched were friends, neighbors, their family lose those jobs. And the transformation from a solid middle class existence to poverty was very difficult for them. So as you see these jobs go away, you see these opportunities go away, what you see, our lives get much worse. So what we decided in 2022 was we wanted to go to places that used to be, you know, like Toledo, Ohio used to be the glass capital of the world. Akron used to be the rubber capital, Eau Claire. They used to be a rubber producer. We went to those places that used to be, and we're talking about how do we make these places that are going to be. And it's the policies that Biden was pushing at the time to reshore manufacturing, to invest in our infrastructure. That was the point. We need to do more of this, and not on a partisan basis. We need to rebuild our country and make this country a place worth handing off to our children. Sadly, I don't think it is yet, but I'm thrilled that we're on the path to getting there.
We've done this show a couple of times, more than that now, from Eau Claire, and we had B.J. Hollers, the producer of this great documentary, When Rubber Hit the Road, about the closure of the Uniroyal plant up there and what that meant to that community. And what it certainly was sad in many ways, but being there at that world premiere of this movie, what I also took away was the hopefulness of working folks all across this, our state of Wisconsin, across this country, because when looking in the eye of adversity, they said we're going to do something good, and they've rebuilt their entire downtown. To me, working folks just have this spirit that they're not going to quit.
No, absolutely. And but you have to give them the opportunity. You got to give them the tools. Yeah. You've got to have the policy initiatives. Bad policy got us here. We opened up our borders to trade. We had really lopsided trade deals. We allowed foreign corporations to run away looking for cheap, exploitable labor and then bring those profits back. We allowed this stuff to happen through bad policy. What Biden has done has moved us in a way that is going to hopefully down the road move us away from that stuff. I think he has been the transformational president to move away from a lot of the neoliberal trade policies of the past, the neoliberal tax policies, and hopefully moving us back to an ideal like my grandparents fought for.
Well, let's talk for a second about Joe Biden. Tonight's kind of his night. He's going to be speaking tonight from the dais. And listening to your show, and a lot of times I do it in my truck, just driving late at night. And one of the cool things I thought, you have people call in that are certainly more from the far left side. So I'm not really happy with Biden. And you've been a constant defender saying, look, he doesn't always ring my bells either, but he's trying more than a lot of other people. And I love the fact that you get that.
He wasn't my first choice.
Yeah.
Quite frankly. He wasn't my second choice. He was my third choice. He was my fourth choice, but he was the best choice. Mm-hmm. He was the guy for the moment that calmed some of the crazy down. I mean, we went through four years of chaos. Mm-hmm. Here was a guy who didn't get involved in any of that. He said, look, go ahead. I got work to do. And I call him Jelly Bucket Joe. This is a guy who just shows up every day. He's got mm-hmm. his jelly bucket, going to go to work. And he has done what I've been calling for years. Spending money to rebuild our roads and bridges, investing in new technologies, reshoring manufacturing, move in those directions. And the secret sauce of my grandparents' generation, promote organized labor. Use the National Labor Relations Act the way it was meant to, where government encourages people to collectively bargain so that you can solve problems at the workplace, where you don't need laws for everything. You can come to an agreement at a bargaining table. Mm-hmm. That's something we used to do. And also, by the way, if companies are doing really, really well, those workers get to share in those profits. Imagine that.
Imagine that,
a world,
right?
Where, you know, companies making $1 billion profit, workers make a little bit more.
Let's talk about unions for a second. I come from on one side of the family, farmers, the other side of the family, educators and teachers. My grandmother, grew up on a farm where my great grandfather didn't think girls should get beyond eighth grade education. She ended up being the first woman to be a dean of university in the state of Wisconsin.
and my entire other family are teachers. We've seen in Wisconsin, because of Scott Walker's Act 10, teachers, people like Morris Andrews, the late great leader of the teachers union in Wisconsin, that got educators to, like, you can get good health care, you can get a good paying job that sustained a family. And now at Act 10, my sister teaches in the Eau Claire School District and is a type 1 diabetic, and she and her husband both have thousands of dollars in deductible now because the school district up there, which is a good district, but the rights of teachers have been, a lot of it, just taken away.
No, look, back in 2011, when we were sleeping on the floor of your Capitol, when all this was going on, and we were one of the first programs in the country to broadcast out of there, we were saying, this is what's going to get you. It's going to get you poverty wages and poverty situations for your public sector workers. This is all about destroying working conditions. It's all about destroying what Wisconsin had always been, the forward state, the state that, you know, brought us workers' compensation and unemployment. And a lot of those, they were the firsts for. And now, you know, Wisconsin at that point, you know, were the ones who were taking us backwards. The hope is now you get some sanity in your state. And again, once again, find that forward bottom.
I just saw a trivia. I'm not sure if you saw this. There was a lot of modeling. And I know polls and modeling are as good as the, you know, that and a cup of coffee. But the point is, some people are now modeling, saying that Wisconsin's legislature, the assembly, it's a 50-50 toss-up right now with these new maps. And we might actually see a chance for Democrats to win. Are you seeing that or not really? Not really.
Democrats are going to do a lot better than they did. Like, they still, you know, even if they're going to have to get to like 52% of the statewide vote to have a real shot, which says they're not completely balanced. But some of that, and, you know, it isn't what Scott Walker and the Republicans say. The advantage that Republicans have is there is the Democrat vote is more packed, but it used to be they needed 58% to get to, right, which is never going to happen. So, yeah. But yeah, they could, in theory.
And we're talking with Rick Smith here on the Rick Smith Show. You can hear it every evening, 10 until 11, on the Civic Media Radio Network, and Trevi Olson on the Lincoln Project. Guys, I want to play a cut, Mr. Zommers, this cut of Trump over the weekend talking about a tariff. A tariff, he said, is a tax on a foreign country. I want to play the clip and come back and get these guys' opinion on it. Here's Trump from over the weekend.
A tariff is a tax on a foreign country. That's the way it is, whether you like it or not. A lot of people like to say, oh, it's a tax on us. No, no, no. It's a tax on a foreign country. It's a tax on a country that's ripping us off and stealing our jobs. And it's a tax that doesn't affect our country. And you could see hundreds of billions of dollars of tariffs on other countries also. I took it.
Rick Smith, as the former Wisconsin basketball coach Bull Ryan, who I know very well, liked to say, I might have been born on a weekend, but it wasn't last weekend. Set people straight on this.
No, he clearly doesn't know what a tariff is. But to be honest with you, I'm not an anti-tariff guy. Mm-hmm. I think you do need to have barriers that encourage competition, and we cannot compete head to head with China, given the way the wage, the poverty, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So I do believe we have to have a way to balance that, and I think tariffs on strategic goods, things that we could produce here, is a smart idea. I think he's just bonkers on this. We're going to have 100% across the board.
Well, that's the point. I mean, 100% tariff. People who are going to pay that are in Eau Claire and Milwaukee and Madison, Richland Center and Green Bay at the end of the day.
Right. But for me, the reality is we used to make things here.
Yeah.
We used to be a country that was self-sufficient. And I'm a firm believer in domestic production for domestic consumption. The things that we need, we should be able to consume. And I think the pandemic really highlighted the fact that we're dependent on the rest of the world for a lot of our stuff. So if there is a breakdown overseas, if there is a log jam at the ports.
China invades Taiwan.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would do.
To me, manufacturing is a national security issue. Always has been.
100%.
And, you know, okay, so I may have to pay an extra dollar for a T-shirt or an extra, you know, 50 cents for something. I'm willing to do that because we were sold this idea of free trade, that I'm going to be able to go to the store and there will be an American product there and there'll be a cheap piece of crap from China there, and I'll be able to choose. I may pay more for the American product, but I can have the choice. Well, the sad reality is you go into stores now, there's no American product left.
Yeah, right.
Those companies have been gobbled up because, understand, we're the reserve currency of the world. When we buy something from China, those dollars have to come back here. And that, what the hell would they use it for? They bought us. Right, we didn't lose millions of jobs. We know exactly where they are. They're in China. Again, right. I go back to bad policy. Now, do I trust that Trump is going to have the idea of actually doing the right thing? No.
Well, where did he manufacture his own stupid ties?
Yeah. Or those goofy tennis shoes.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, his steaks, I don't know where he bought the meat, but I wouldn't, and I don't even know what kind of meat it was. I have a question for you, Rick, though. Talk about, and this is a place where I think guys like you and I, right? Like, I come from the right of center, and you obviously come from sort of the other side of the spectrum. But when it comes to returning manufacturing, it just makes common sense.
And, without question.
And to some degree, and Biden has been great on that. I was talking to somebody about all that Biden and Harris have been doing about slowly getting the semiconductors and critical pieces of technology back here and creating opportunity to manufacture in the state. Not like Scott Walker did it, where it was a complete boondoggle and basically the state got ripped off to the tune of, what was it, $1 billion?
Yeah.
But like actually getting these American companies to build American manufacturing facilities, and in some cases within the NAFTA zone. So they've got some of the work that Americans would be low-wage work being done in Mexico and then bringing it here, and it's the more advanced. I just think to do that, though, successfully requires foresight in terms of, you know, technical
industrial
education.
Policy.
Yes.
An idea, a thought. Not this invisible hand nonsense.
Yeah, right.
Because the invisible hand's been giving us the invisible finger for a very long time.
Correct. Well, or in Scott Walker's case, literally not even the invisible finger. But Scott, as I said, we're going to have to send him my quote. You know, Scott Walker is not a bright man.
No.
But he does know what love is.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
They have a little tip for tackle.
No, that's good. Good. No, but here's the thing.
He wrecked the state.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to the point.
He destroyed your state.
Wisconsin had an amazing tradition of certain things, public education being one of them, the Wisconsin idea, conservation, being things that bipartisan people work together. My boss, Tommy Thompson, we work together. We may not have always agreed. We work with Democrats from Milwaukee on education. We worked with, you know, Gaylord Nelson, Bill Proxmire on conservation. Scott Walker wrecked all of that. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know that I've ever said this to you and I've been on your show, but I've known Scott Walker since high school at Badger Boys State. He was running for governor of the state then. And what infuriates me about it, which is why I rip on Scott Walker all the time on this show, is that he did that because he was all about running for president and he wanted something and did it on the back of public servants, so that he could be on Fox News.
I'm going to be a lot more
run for president.
You're a lot
He's
more generous.
Pathetic.
You're a lot
He's
more
pathetic.
Generous. At least he was going to get something out of it. I thought it was just for the money.
No, he's wanted to be president. So when we were at Badger Boys State, we were all 16. It's Legion State. We were all trying to get the college girls out behind the dorm.
Gotcha.
Not very successfully. Yeah. Scott Walker was running for president of the United States then. Like, literally, he is that guy.
Yeah. No, I know.
He is
some of those.
He is no different than Bill Clinton.
You got time for one more segment?
Sure.
6 minutes?
All right. I'm here for it.
Right. You're fantastic. We're going to come
He's
back.
He's done this before.
I know
I
he
think.
Has. Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show coming on back also. Mr. Trigby Olson, your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We're live on location at the Democratic National Convention, The Allbald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up.
The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later, leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to a special Labor Day edition of the Todd Allball Show here. Now coming up on 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Here now, more of our interview, Trygve Olson of the Lincoln Project and myself with Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show from a couple of weeks ago.
Talking to, of course, Rick Smith from the Rick Smith Show. You can hear it every evening across the network from 10 until 11. You can also see him on Free Speech TV from 5 until 6. Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project. Also joining me at the table, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you have a question for Rick or Trygve, Mr. Zomers, is L.A. Tom still on the line or did he drop off? All right, very good. Let's go out to Los Angeles, California, and L.A. Tom, what do you got?
Well, first I'm going to say, when are we going to learn anything Trump says never really happens? So that I do want to say about him. Actually do anything that's good for the United States and not as billionaire donors. I am a joyful democracy warrior. I wanted to say to Trygve, I think Rick Wilson should be the Frank Luntz for the Democratic Party because he's brilliant. I don't believe in Project 2025. I wanted to ask, do you think that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the Democratic Convention will talk a little bit more about the three branches of government and how we have to win the Senate and the House in order to get any of their policies through? Because I don't see that yet. And I really would like to see a little bit more of that because I don't think most American people really understand democracy or the three branches of government, actually.
Sure. Thanks.
And one last thing, Trygve, I just want to say, this is the way I message it, because I am pro-life. I'm against war. I'm against pretty much anything that can destroy life. But I put the framing as a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose. And I think women every day choose to have children. So I would really love for us to get out of this whole thing where it's kind of like pro-abortion thing or pro-life. We know what the opposite of pro-life is. It's pro-death. We have to have two nouns. It's got to either be a pro a woman's right to choose or pro someone else's right to choose. And that, in this state, would be government.
Thanks, L.A. Tom. Really appreciate it.
It's a good comment because I'm not pro or anti-abortion, since you brought that up. I'm pro-safety.
Yeah.
I've got two daughters. I don't want them to have to make a decision like their grandmother's generation had to. I wouldn't be thrilled if they had abortions, but I would be thrilled if they came home alive. So for me, that's the point. I think we need to be talking about things in a much different, I think this is what L.A. Tom was getting to. We need to be talking about things in a different frame.
Yeah.
These binary choices. I think pro-safety can bring someone who is quote-unquote pro-life and someone who is pro-abortion into a middle ground, I think.
Yeah. But what about this Trygve I always talk about? You know, he worked at the national level for Republicans' narrative. Democrats, you know, seem to be good on policy, and Republicans are usually better at narrative. I think that Kamala Harris and this team in 30 days have just grabbed this by the short hairs, and they've got it.
Yeah.
Because this narrative of freedom, this narrative of bringing people together, joyfulness, somebody on Twitter, I credit him, I can't remember who, said it feels like we're walking away from an abusive relationship. I mean,
Trygve's exactly right. Because I've been saying for a very long time, Democrats in a street fight would offer to hold your coat.
Exactly.
This group right now, I think they would grab your coat, throw it on the ground, and then wipe you up with it. Right. Because, you know, go back to 2016. What was the frame then?
I think they'd throw it over your head and just pound the...
Okay, yeah.
Crap.
What was the frame back in 2016? When they go low, we...
Go high.
Yeah, and I'm going, no, I played football. When they go after my knees, when they go low, I ram their... head to the ground, you know, stomp them in the dirt.
You want to know a funny story about that? So in 2020, Michelle Obama repeated that line, and Lincoln Project tweeted out, "That's okay. You can stay high because we'll knee him in the groin." We used a different term. Okay. And we got it back channeled to us that she wasn't very happy about our tweet because it kind of made
because it's the wrong frame. Right. It's the wrong frame.
Right.
It's telling
it
you
was
you're
a good frame for us.
Yeah, yeah, it was
that's
great
exactly
for you.
What we were doing.
You got the
that's
attention.
That's what you
got
to do.
Absolutely.
Seriously. It's what
but
you
this is
do.
Where this
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.